network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Stand by for news. I'm Tom Rowan Aker, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. This morning, we will hear WGXC's Kieran O'Reilly speaking with Claudia Nagy, founder and director of the Eat Co-op in Catskill, the new food co-op in Catskill. We'll also hear from Mike Amari and Liam Singer in the debut of the Chosen Family segment previewing interesting local events in August on WGXC in the Chosen Family zine. Plus, we'll hear from Brian Naur. He spoke with WGXC's Justin Maiman. He's an artist from Brooklyn who recently relocated to the Catskills. We'll also hear about events going on this week and the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. All starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
WGXC Akron 90.7 FM.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sean Mooney of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that lockboxes are now required for short-term rental units in the city of Hudson, but open fires are not allowed. On August 3rd, the Hudson Common Council passed the new rules. The new fire law says, and I quote, "No person shall kindle, make, or keep a fire in any yard, building, or public or private space in the city unless in a smokeless container approved for such use by the manufacturer," end quote. The new rule also only allows dried, cut, and split firewood and requires all fires be supervised at all times. For the lockbox rule, short-term renters must use certain city-approved brands, and then keys to the lockboxes are kept in each City of Hudson Fire Department vehicle, locked in a Knox key-controlled unit. Mayor Jamal Johnson said, and I quote, "Both of these laws are built around community safety. The lockbox has allowed for the firefighters and emergency personnel to gain rapid entry into locked buildings. The open burn laws have been needed to be updated for some years now, and this is also about safety and the welfare of the people of Hudson. This will make sure that we won't have open fires that are dangerous to life and property," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Patrick Tyne reports in the Times Union that Maple Leaf service between New York City and Toronto on Amtrak is back in both directions after a derailment on August 4th stopped service over the weekend. Empire service, which runs from New York City to Niagara Falls, remains suspended west of Albany because of the ongoing track repairs. An Amtrak spokesperson said there were, and I quote, speed restrictions, end quote, on the rail line, but did not elaborate. Amtrak spokesperson Beth Toll said, and I quote, full service will be restored as soon as conditions improve and it is safe to do so, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Luke Parsnell reports for New York State of Politics that New York's slow rollout of legal cannabis stores has another roadblock, with the state Supreme Court judge issuing a temporary restraining order stopping them from giving out new licenses. The reason? A lawsuit filed last week claims New York has largely kept cannabis licenses from disabled veterans and, I quote, and other minority groups the law prioritizes, end quote. A hearing on the issue will be in court on August 11th in Ulster County. Locally, the only cannabis stores open now are in Albany and Rensselaer counties. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, August 8th. Local early morning temperatures range from 62 degrees in Tannersville to 70 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 70 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be low. Scattered and isolated rain lingers today as temperatures reach 79 degrees by 1 p.m. Rain comes to an end by midnight and temperatures fall to 63 degrees before dawn on a sunny, dry, and warm Wednesday with a high of 83 at 4 p.m. A drop to 61 degrees overnight takes us into a kinda wet-looking Thursday. Isolated rain falls through the day, especially in the afternoon, and we get a high of 77. Friday, warm and sunny again with a high of 79. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:33 a.m., high tide at 9:12 a.m., low tide again at 3:42 p.m., and high tide once again at 9:46 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 75 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 7:54 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:52 a.m. Looking way up, we see geomagnetic storm watches are up for today as a couple Hadouken track through our neck of the stellar woods. Plasma winds will be average at 482 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 101. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Welcome to Chosen Family segment on WGXC FM in Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, New York. My name is Mike Amari, and I'm here with Liam Singer.
Pleasure to be here, Mike.
Every month, we create Chosen Family, the zine, which is a free monthly zine, created, printed, and distributed around the Hudson Valley. Each month we feature a show paper. Liam, you have a big hand in the show paper?
Yes, that is my baby, Mike.
What made you want to do the show paper, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I was living here for a number of years, booking shows myself in Catskill, and it didn't seem like there was much of a central resource for finding out about musical events. And there was so much neat stuff happening in the area, and no way for people to learn about it.
Did you ever think of just putting up a bulletin board in the center of town and stapling up posters? That's all right. Well, each month, in the show paper, we highlight concerts and interesting events from Hudson and Catskill down to Beacon and Peekskill, from the eastern Catskill Mountains to the eastern banks of the Hudson River. It's a pretty cool little area that we cover.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I guess it's the southern upstate, if you will.
We also feature art, writing, and random creations made by folks in the local communities, unedited and as is.
We get some pretty wild stuff, some pretty neat stuff.
Pretty cool stuff coming in from every little town in the valley, I would say. Some towns I haven't even heard of.
That's true.
And I have to just check on Google Maps and make sure they are real.
Yeah, I log on and I have to see where they are.
As long as the zip code starts with 124, I tend to go with it.
Absolutely.
Our zine is print only. It's not internet focused, though it does exist on the internet on our Instagram, which is at Chosen Family Presents, and we do put the show paper up there each month.
Frankly, I just find the internet too overwhelming.
There's a lot.
It's a lot on there.
There is a lot on there. Or you can go to chosenfamilypresents.com and find all the locations that we put the zine each month, and go to those locations around the first of each month and just wait around and see if you can find one. And if you do get one, share it with your friends. They do go pretty quick. Mm-hmm. They go pretty quick, so if you see someone else heading to grab that last one, you're going to want to get there first.
Yeah.
Because when they're gone, they're gone. It's free, of course, we should mention. It costs $0, 0 cents.
What a deal.
And that's due to the support of local businesses, we should mention.
Absolutely. A lot of good folks chipping in to make it happen.
There's people who, for instance, make donuts, sell those donuts, and then give a tiny bit of that money to us so that we can print this document every month.
Absolutely, and we do not mind that support. We do not mind it.
There are no themes or requirements. The only thing we ask if someone wants to send something in for the zine is that you're locally based.
That's right.
Like I said, we will verify that and double check that and make sure you are local.
Yeah, we will. So we will Google you.
If you live somewhere else in the country, do not send us anything that you've made.
Not interested.
This month, for August, we have a pretty exciting issue that we'll be distributing this first week of the month. Liam, do you want to talk about some of the events that are coming
up? Oh, absolutely. The summertime is always a very exciting time here in the Hudson Valley. All the venues are in full swing, and there are a lot of outdoor festivals happening as well. Reading through this month's show paper, I noticed a few notable things. There's a good amount of comedy happening in August.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I love to laugh, right?
I think we all need to laugh a little bit more.
I couldn't agree more. I think we all need to laugh more. And so there's a newer venue called Happy Valley down in Beacon. It's a barcade.
That sounds like a good place for a comedy show.
Absolutely.
Happy Valley.
Yep. There's a comedy show happening there with some local comedians, and it's a barcade, which...
Explain to me what a barcade is. I don't have TikTok, and I don't know.
No, my cousin told me it is it's arcade games in a bar setting.
Oh, I see. An arcade.
So it's a
a bar.
It's a fun retro.
Got it.
Retro sort of thing. And then at Colony on the 10th, there's Eddie Pepitone. That's a fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun name.
I remember Eddie.
Eddie Pepitone and JT Habersat. And a few days later, on the 13th, at Avalon, is a sketch comedy group called Simple Town.
Huh.
And they're apparently rather big on the viral medias.
Okay. Well, that sounds exciting. But what if I didn't want to sit in a chair all night staring at one person talking on a microphone? What if I wanted to get up and dance? Is there anything?
Oh, great question. So many.
Get my butt moving.
So many fun places to shake your booty this month. Colony in Woodstock has two very unusual fun parties. They have a Queens of Country party, which is a pop country dance party. And later in the month, they have an ABBA-themed dance party as well.
Is that where they're going to gimme, gimme, gimme a dance after midnight?
That's very funny, Michael.
I love ABBA. I love ABBA.
And
that's the band from Mamma Mia?
That's the band from the musical Mamma Mia, yes.
I love Mamma Mia.
So creative. And speaking of artist-themed parties, on the 11th at Avalon, there is a Robin-themed pop dance party. Which should be a real hoot. Oh, and another big dance party is happening at Avalon on the 25th. It is the 4th anniversary of the Avalon Lounge, and the disco dance band Midnight Magic will be performing.
A lot of disco this month.
Absolutely, and that should be a fun, silly time for everyone. In terms of some other interesting events, Big Frida is playing the City Winery.
Now, is that who invented twerking?
Definitely is involved in the twerking community. And it's very interesting to see an artist like that booked at City Winery, which I think of as Because of the wine. Apparently their crowd is going for the bounce now.
That sounds wonderful.
It does sound wonderful.
But what if I didn't want to sit in a chair all night laughing? I didn't have the energy to dance all night. I just wanted to see a nice local band play a show in a cool local place. Is there anything going on in August?
There is so much of that happening in August.
It seems like there's a lot going on in August.
Now, if we want to talk about local acts, let's see what we have here.
Emily Ritz at Basilica on
the
10th.
Yeah. former Hudson Valley resident and still very much a part of the community here. Speaking of former residents, Matt Norman has put together a show on the 8th at Avalon with a lot of local folks. And Opus 40 is having two of our favorite local acts, Kendra McKinley and Camp St. Helene, on the 18th.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
That should be a beautiful show. Opus 40 is a beautiful place to see music. But if you look over the show paper, I think you'll find plenty of friends and neighbors doing a lot of interesting things this month.
Well, people will just have to pick up the Chosen Family zine in a location near them and check out the whole show paper.
And what else can we expect to see in the zine besides the show paper?
Well, after flipping through the show paper, they will find a monthly report, which is known as the Regional Rave Report. Sarah has so fastidiously submitted every month. This month, she talks to local artist Becca Van Kay about the intersection of her physical artwork and the rave community. It's a very interesting conversation.
And raving is a kind of dancing, is that right?
Yes, but it's also a fashion.
It's a fashion style as well.
It's a lifestyle, actually.
Wow.
Also, you'll find a very interesting piece by Rick Royer, where he has actually located the only remaining VHS and DVD rental business in the Hudson Valley. It's a place called Video Variety, and it's based in Greenville, New York. And he goes and talks to the owner and even submitted a few photographs. So you can check that out and break out those VHS players and go on up to Video Variety and see what they've got going on in there, because it is pretty wild. And, you know, we can't all afford Netflix out here. So check it out. There's also some really interesting photos of pieces created by artist Bill Brovold, who basically his father was a watchmaker and left these boxes full of watch parts that he just recently found.
Oh, wow.
And has been creating little sculptures out of those pieces.
Very interesting.
Yeah, people do all sorts of interesting stuff.
It's really wild the things that people think of to do.
I don't know if you mentioned it in the show paper section, but there is a festival going on in August called Deep in the Valley that is as it says here, Cosmic Country Festival. And two of the artists participating in that interviewed each other. Yeah, so that's interesting.
Cosmic country,
Which sounds like a drug thing, and I don't.
It does seem like a drug thing.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, well, I'm not here to judge.
Yeah,
it does seem like a drug thing.
There's also a piece that was submitted by someone who has a Substack called Listening Habit, where they talk about passive consumerism and how that affects a lot of things in our lives, including our music listening habits. Pretty interesting.
Okay.
And finally, someone who has also submitted to the zine almost every month is Tolzar. And Tolzar's intergalactic wisdom. Now, have you met Tolzar?
Tolzar has helped me through some very dark periods in my life, and I could not speak more highly of him as a practitioner of the esoteric arts.
Now, and Tolzar is a hand puppet?
Tolzar is a puppet, yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. Great. That's wonderful. So I think that about covers everything that's in the August Chosen Family zine, which is out everywhere now and going quickly. And If you'd like to submit your event or your art to the zine, you can email us at chosenfamzine@gmail.com. And yeah, we look forward to hearing from everybody out there.
Absolutely.
We do get some of the details wrong. We do.
It's true.
So you're gonna
wanna
double
perfect.
You're gonna wanna double check those websites. Mm-hmm. So you will have to log into the internet.
Just log in, plug it into Google.
Yeah.
And see what it tells you.
Well, Liam, it's been great catching up over all this wonderful local information.
I treasure this time with you.
And I look forward to doing it next month.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening.
If you like music that's off the beaten path, and often off the beat, then tune in to Overlooked, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, just after the noon news. You'll hear underplayed and overlooked music of all genres, continents, and omniverses, overlooked on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm Justin Maiman. And my friend Brian Auer is here today. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Justin. Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. I love how in there's certain references that I have absolutely no idea what he's talking about. Like it's in California from, you know, almost 50 years ago, that record.
1975, which when I played it. So for those of you who just tuned in, Brian is here. He figured out the playlist for today. It's the first time ever I've allowed that to happen. So this is a big day. But I really, I trust Brian's choices in music. But why he's really here is because he's a tremendous painter who, he's an oil painter. We'll get into that in a little bit. But in his studio up here in Perling, he tends to paint to a lot of music. And so that's what he built this playlist around. And I'll stop talking. Brian, what is it that makes for like a perfect song to paint to?
Well, first off, when I like you mentioned, I do paint in oil, so oils are very messy, and I wear latex gloves. So when I select music to paint to, I'm conscious of the fact that I don't want to be taking my gloves off and changing songs and changing what I'm listening to. So it's kind of important to me to just select something that I you know, familiar with, that I really like, and that I could listen to straight through, or if it's a certain artist that I want to listen to, if I trust in their all their music, I might shuffle all their songs, but I'm careful not to shuffle my whole, you know, iTunes library, because there's a lot of music on there I don't really like to paint to. But Tom Waits, I started listening to Tom Waits like in the mid '90s, and at first, when I was introduced to him, it was some of his later stuff, that middle stuff, that like carnival sounding stuff. But which I found really liked, but I maybe didn't quite understand it at the time. And so I started from the beginning of his career, the early stuff, which was singer songwriter stuff, sort of love songs. Mm-hmm. And then I got Nighthawks at the Diner, which we're listening to right now, and I fell for it immediately. I think his genius comes through with he's funny, he's a wonderful storyteller, and it provided for me companionship. I'd say it's a record you want to listen to straight through. I think like all his records, I wouldn't shuffle Tom Waits. It just doesn't really make sense. And now and again, if I hear Tom Waits on a radio station, it's so out of context for me. I'm almost like, what song is this? What record is this on? I'm used to listening to him straight through. And
so I'm glad when you shared the playlist last night, I was psyched that I had this on vinyl. I think it's the only thing we'll play on vinyl today. But we'll come back to Tom Waits at the end of the show.
Yes.
So we're going to go into song two, which I know is an artist very close to your heart. And do you want to go right into it, or do you want to talk a little bit about the DB before we do it?
We could talk a little bit. I mean, so, you know, I was thinking about music and, for myself, painting. So ideally when I'm painting, if I could have a session where I could listen to four albums, mm-hmm. that would be ideal. But it's really tough for me just with all my other – with everything else that's going on in my life. So – you know, 2 to 3 is sort of what my goal, and more realistically these days it's like 1. So, you know, I'll pick a record and I'll listen to it, and sometimes I'll get lost in that record, and sometimes I'll stumble upon certain things I haven't heard before in that record. Or sometimes like if I'm in a really good group painting, the whole record will just go by me and I forgotten maybe even what I've listened to, or my mind might be somewhere else when I'm painting. It's also given me an opportunity to listen to music more so than I've had, like, or if I'm in the car, or I don't really sit in a chair and listen to music. I'd like to think I do. I collect records, but rarely do I just put a record on and sit and listen to it. And I like so many kinds of music, but there's certain music that that doesn't move me to paint. I mean, there's certain, you know, I love jazz, but I rarely listen to jazz when I paint. I love classic rock, but I don't really paint to classic rock. So I've always been like a big David Bowie fan, and another artist who has a wide span of music and a career of constantly evolving and growing. But I guess in the like mid-90s or so, I stopped listening and buying music. I mean, I don't mean I stopped listening, but I wasn't really searching for new music. I listened... still listen to a lot of the music from the 80s and whatnot that I've always liked. But so it wasn't until about 5 years ago that I decided to go back and buy all that late 90s, 2000s David Bowie music, which I was familiar with certain songs that maybe became a radio hit or a hit. But I bought all that stuff to listen to, and I loved it. There were some great records that I think when people think of David Bowie, maybe, you know, they think obviously the Ziggy Stardust, and they think of you know, Let's Dance put him on the map, you know, very, you know, all over the world. But that 2000 stuff I think is great. So I chose a song from I believe it's from Hours, which is a song I really like. I think it's a beautiful song, and a theme to a lot of the songs that I like. I think are songs that have maybe have some pathos in it, but have like some passion and some, you know, little energy. So I think this song sort of has all that.
All right. Well, that's kind of a perfect intro. Here's David Bowie, Something in the Air.
Let's take what seasons of our lives. Can't believe I'm asking you to go. We used what we could to get the things we want, but we lost each other on the way. I guess you know I never wanted anyone more than you. Lived all our best times, left with the worst. I've danced with you too long. Say what you will, there's something in there. Rage for the last time. Nothing we have to say. There's nothing in our eyes, but there's something in the air. Something in my eye. I've danced with you too long. There's something I have to say.
Tom Rowe in Acro with the WGXC Community Calendar. It's online at WGXC.org, and you can find all sorts of events in person and virtually there. Stuff to do, and you can add your own event there. There's an add an event button. If you press that, then you can fill in the blanks, and soon enough, your event will be read on the radio at 90.7 FM and seen around the world in the WGXC Community Calendar at WGXC.org. On Wednesday, August 9th, the Hudson Area Library hosts Crafting for Kindness. Learn to make summer crafts that will be sent to the Ghent Rehabilitation and Nursing Center. It's from 11 a.m. to noon at the Hudson Area Library on Wednesday, August 9th. Thursday, August 10th, the Hudson Thursday Market is in the public square on 7th Street between Columbia and Warren Streets, and there's all sorts of farms with tables there. The Ankrum Opera House on Thursday, August 10th has Clean Air Plays, three site-specific new works presented at the Ankrum Opera House. There's also the Thursday night lecture series at the Eldridge Research Center in Rensselaerville. Friday, August 11th, the Community Spaghetti Dinner is at the American Legion in Greenville from 4:30 to 7 p.m. And in Kingston at the Blackbird Info Shop and Cafe, Night Fountain and Dylan Nirvana are performing at 7 o'clock. Saturday, August 12th, the New York Nut Growers Association Summer Meeting is open to all. That's at the Cornell Cooperative Extension Agroforestry Center in Acre. That's 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's also all day long Saugerty's Artist Studio Tour. 37 locations in Saugerty. That's on Saturday and Sunday, August 13th. The Catskill Saturday Ukulele Jam is from 1:30 to 3 p.m. on August 12th at the Catskill United Methodist Church. There is a traditional Irish music session where ukuleles are welcome, but all kinds of other instruments will be there too. That's at the Shamrock House from 2 to 5 p.m. in East Durham on Sunday, August 13th. These are just some of the events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. Stay tuned to all sorts of interesting creative community programming on WGXC on Tuesday, August 8th. Including at noon, Rob Saffer has overlooked African music for the summertime on his Overlooked show after the local news at noon. Then there's Scary Stories on the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. And more stories for the dark with Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda about local movies at 7 p.m. on WGXC. Then Andy French is in from Hudson with Crawl Out from the Fallout at 8. And Dan Seward is live from Hudson at 10 p.m. with the Battlefield Earth Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, solar-powered community radio.
All right, Claudia, I guess Najee. We have a restaurant over here in Great Barrington called Najee, so it's going to be easier for me to remember that. Claudia Najee, welcome to the Monday Afternoon Show. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you making the time here to talk about something that I think is so important to all of us. I'm sure there's a bunch of things you want to talk about, but one of which is food. And why don't you tell us what you want to bring to the table, no pun intended, today on the Monday Afternoon Show.
Yes, thank you so much. So basically, I'm here today to talk about EAT, which is a project that I've been working on with my co-founder, Gabriel, here in Catskill. And basically, we realized, we having been here, that there's not a lot of places to get fresh food, especially in town, and there's not really like a four-season market for farmers. And basically, Gabe has an agreement with two farmers who use his land, that's called Nimble Roots Farm, and you can read all about their agreement and their collaboration. But he had the idea for a four-season farmer's market, and he was really reaching out to me because of my background in ag and policy about the idea of creating a four-season market. And we basically came to the conclusion that we could do a consignment-based four-season farmer's market that also had wholesale options for members and also like a kitchen rental space. And there's a few different versions of this that exist. But we basically wanted to create something in Catskill that could be a resource for makers and also farmers.
We have an interview from
April. We've been working on the idea since July of last year, and we are scaling up our kitchen rentals. So I definitely want to mention that we are a DOH certified commissary kitchen. So we invite makers who are interested in scaling production to come and check out our space, especially bakers. And I could share more about the history or, you know, the structure of it. But we basically are a multi-stakeholder cooperative, so we're worker-owned, and we hope that we'll be able to extend ownership to members and farmers as we finish our development process. So we're working with CDI, the Cooperative Development Institute, to get our bylaws and articles of incorporation finalized, but this year has been an incubation year, and all members who join in this year get membership for life, and they never have to renew it, and it's per household. So we're still definitely soliciting members and donations, but we are basically for farmers a seller's club, so farmers can set their prices collectively. We don't undercut each other, and we also help farmers with development if they need help with their website, their branding, logos, insurance. We basically help them expand their own production. For farmers, it's totally free to join, and it's much more like a marketing platform, a shared marketing platform. For consumer members, it's more of like a wholesale buyers club. So we can't give like huge discounts on farmers' goods because farmers set their shelf prices, and we only take a commission for our overhead lights and electric and stuff, which is 30%. So they actually get more than the wholesale value of their goods. But for consumer members, we do offer a bulk buying club. So we'll be launching that this month of ordering together bulk dried goods, canned goods, paper products, and just testing out what a once a month pickup looks like. And for, yeah, so I would say for farmers, it's like a seller's club. For consumer members, it's a buyer's club. For kitchen members, it's a commissary rental kitchen that we have that's available for pop-up rentals or residencies and longer-term rentals with storage. And then there's worker owners, which is me and Gabe, and we hope more people. So we're scaling up now, and we're really hoping that people will get more involved. We also serve Adirondack Creamery ice cream. We're about to open for pop-up rentals of the whole space. So if you are a caterer and you want to do an experience, we have tables and forks and knives and three-bay dishwasher and serving window and all that. So we are pretty much fully equipped farm-to-table space. And yeah, it would be great if more people just came to activate the space and do more events and programming. We are working out of 23 Church Street next door to the Avalon here in Catskill. And we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 6 p.m. And we'll have cafe hour soon and brunch. So things are growing after a long incubation period. So that was quite a lot of stuff. I hope that was...
Claudia, that was a really great intro. And I could probably talk to you for, hours about this subject. It's definitely a passion of mine. I go way back when I was 16 years old, way back in high school, late last century, late 1900s, when I worked for Roxbury Farm, which was the first farm to deliver food in a CSA model to New York City. Wow. And it was just like, wow, this is such a revolutionary economic model. It's going to subvert the dominant way we do things in the whole system, which is so broken. This was like 93. I was like 16. And then I went back again after college in 97 because I was so fired up about it. And it was just like Hudson Valley, Columbia County. I mean, the potential. But it's just it's seeing the trajectory of agriculture has been inspiring on the one hand, but also like with industrialized agriculture and modern technology being what it is and neonicotinoids and all this stuff, it's like also depressing. Now you're from the Hudson Valley, right? So can you just give us just a brief background of where you're from and how you got passionate about food and agriculture and bringing food to people's plates?
Yeah, well, I've been here since I was 15. I was in Westchester, and I've like bounced around. I've lived in Rosendale, I've lived in Beacon, I've lived in Newburgh, I've been in New Paltz. So I've seen a lot of the in-between kind of agricultural and rural spaces. But I went and did an undergraduate and a master's at Columbia. I studied environmental policy and science with a focus on food systems. And I mean, what I've seen in the last 13 years since I've been here is basically there's a lot of attention that's being paid to supplying organic foods into the city, and these in-between spaces are not really a priority for delivering organic fresh produce. I mean, we have two bodegas on Main Street in downtown Catskill, but there's nowhere to get fresh food. Right. And this is a problem. I mean, when I was in school or like wherever I've lived, it's, you know, you can have farmers markets in the summertime, but aggregating farmers' goods in one kind of wholesale and retail model is not simple for farmers, and they are way too busy farming to do that. So the CSA model is really lovely, and we are going to offer a fall CSA through Rolling Hill Organic Farm in Freehold if anyone is interested in joining, and that'll start in September. That'll go through November. But yeah, the CSA model is great because it gives farmers funding up front to do what they need to do for the season, and you kind of just get what is abundant, and it's a much safer bet for farmers. But it's really surprising up here. Like, for example, the Nimble Roots Farm, which is the farm that my co-founder is a partner on, they were the first CSA in Catskill, pretty much. There's a lot going on in Hudson. There's not so much going on here. So for me, I just think the food question is just going to get more and more pressing in climate change, and just it's the foundation of everything. So I think for me, it's always been implicit as a part of environmental conservation is how to make sound ecological choices in through farming. And I think what all of our farmers do, and I'm really proud to say, is that they are all using organic practices, either no-till or no-spray, or they're basically or biodynamic or pasture-raised or silvopasture. So we're basically creating an aggregated system for farmers to market their goods to a wider audience. And we're also offering wholesale and retail aggregating. But what made me interested in food systems, I'm sorry, I keep getting distracted to the project, is basic survival. I mean, I did a lot of school in environmental policy and science, and it's like, at the end of the day, the question just always comes back to, like, how are we going to make a viable humanity without sustainable agriculture? Ooh. So this we hope will be a replicable, scalable model for doing aggregated food systems. And we're not the first place to do it. There's lots of things called farm stops in the Midwest that are more just like a bunch of different farmers sell their goods out of one place and there's a commission. But we're really honing in on the commercial kitchen and the like space rental side of things, because selling produce is not lucrative, and we know that. It's value-added stuff. It's experiential stuff. It's commercial kitchen scale production level. So, I hope that this will become something that's just really common for people. Philmont does a similar project. There's a lot of different versions of this, but I think what we're doing is unique because we're doing an entire development process around making this replicable. I guess I like eating.
One thing that I really, one of the many things I appreciate about what you're doing here with your work is a focus on organic. You even mentioned biodynamic. As I'm a biodynamic byproduct, I grew up on a biodynamic farm down in Pennsylvania, and just really take that caring for the earth and looking at it like as a holistic, like farm individuality, and looking at all processes in nature as interrelated, and the human being just really, really needing to not keep screwing things up. So how did that become? Because I see a lot of this local farm movement, local farm to table, local food in a fancy restaurant, that it could be grown with really horrible pesticides and herbicides, and it's because it's local, it's seen as like preferential, which I get, because you could get tomatoes from California or Mexico that shipped all the way across that also have all sorts of chemicals on them. Maybe it's preferable to have the local ones with chemicals on them. But you mentioned organic and even biodynamic a couple of times here, and I'm wondering like how that ecological prioritization in your work came about. And
We understand that people can go to Walmart and people can go to Price Chopper and like all the other places to go shopping. But I think what's really missing is a connection. There's tons of organic food that's being grown all in upstate. Like, there's lots of farmers who are doing it. It's just they don't have retail spaces. it's right. not possible to access a retail space. And the other half of it is like, we just really lucked out on the space because it was a bakery before it was opened. It was the Churchtown Bakery before, and it was fully outfitted with tons of wattage and outlet space and fridges. And it was pretty much designed to be a storefront, with a bakery, a commercial kitchen in the back with a serving window. So for us, it was like, we did a totally shoestring budget, like really completely out of pocket and like sweat equity and just like fundraising, through our Open Collective page. It's opencollective.com/eatcatsgirl, where we really saw that like most other co-ops, like what do they struggle with? They struggle with finding a brick and mortar location that's central to, downtown, that is walkable, that can take the wattage and the water and the sinks and the mop sink. And we just found a space that was like in our budget and had all